Hare Krishna. I thank you for being here this evening. Not long ago, this was an abandoned field. But Srila Prabhupada, he glanced upon it with a vision that someday thousands, hundreds and thousands, millions of people would be gathered here to be transformed by the mercy of these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, who are supremely merciful. There is a very well-known story. Srila Prabhupada was at a temple in America. The presiding deities were Nitai Gaurachandra. Instead of singing Radha Madhava, he sang this song by Lochandas Thakur. As he was glorifying the supreme mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, he became choked up, unable to continue. Tears streamed from his eyes. The temple room was enveloped in complete silence. It appears that Srila Prabhupada was seeing and experiencing the mercy of Lord Nityananda right before his eyes, as hundreds of young Americans who had no conception of God, who were addicted to all sorts of sinful acts, how they had been completely transformed. Srila Prabhupada never took credit for anything that he had done. One time he was asked, "Swamiji, can you perform miracle?" He said, "I have made hippies into happies. That is my miracle." Miserable people, addicted to impious life, are now dedicating 24 hours a day in the loving service of the Lord. By such high standards that the people of the West cannot even comprehend. People who are sleeping it all day are now waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning. No intoxication, no gambling, no meat eating, no illicit sex, chanting the holy names, some even giving up luxurious wealth to live in the simplest, most austere conditions, only to serve their spiritual master and Krishna. That transformation is a miracle. But Prabhupada saw himself only as the instrument, the puppet of the miraculous compassion of the previous acharyas, that the origin is Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Today, we visited Gautram Dweep and Madhyam Dweep. At Surabhi Kunj, we heard about how Lord Nityananda Prabhu opened his marketplace for distributing Krishna's holy names. And the only price he asked was our faith, our willingness to accept it. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, whose life and soul was simply to serve the mission of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, made his residence practically in the very same place. From there, he wrote literatures that were not only perfectly authorized by the Guru Parampara, but so creative and universal in substance that they could transform sincere and intelligent people's hearts from all over the world. He had a vision of spreading Mahaprabhu's mercy throughout the entire world with the same spirit that Lord Nityananda did in Gautram Dweep. That spirit was fully imbibed by his most empowered son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and on his first meeting with His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, he inspired that same spirit in him. And it is that mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda that has been preserved in the hearts of those pure souls that is our only qualification. In Navadweep, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was visiting, but nobody knew who he was, except those who came from his native place of Chattogram. Lord Chaitanya, one day he went into a trance of ecstatic love and started crying out, "Pundarik, Pundarik." That is the name of Krishna. First, the devotees were thinking he was chanting Krishna's names. But the way he was chanting, he was saying, "My father," they understood he must be speaking about a great Vaishnava that must be coming to Navadweep. Now Mukunda Dat, Vasudev Dat, Chaitanya Ballabha, these devotees were from Chattogram, so they knew the greatness of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. One day Mukunda told Gadadhar Pandit that, "I know you are always eager to meet saintly people. Who have surrendered their lives in the loving service of Lord Krishna. Please let me take you to see one." Gadadhar Pandit was very, very grateful for the opportunity. Until they came to the house of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. Gadadhar Pandit was a very simple, austere brahmachari. From his earliest childhood, he always worshipped Krishna with love and devotion. Very austere, always blissful, because he wanted nothing for himself. He wanted nothing in terms of prestige or honor. He wanted nothing in terms of material facilities. He was content just chanting and hearing the glories of the Lord and serving the Lord's devotees and absorbing himself in remembering Krishna. When he saw Pundarik Vidyanidhi, he was confused. What kind of Vaishnava is this? First of all, Pundarik Vidyanidhi was sitting on a very luxurious bed with silk pillows of various colors, silken sheets. And he was dressed with elegant garments, wearing jewels and ornaments. His hair was finely combed with perfume-scented oils. He had mascaras. He was chewing spices. There were nice brass pots all around him, holding different delicious things for him to chew and to eat. Every now and then, there was a high-quality mirror on the wall. He would look at the mirror and smile. So happy with what he was seeing. Gadadhar Pandit, he didn't say anything. But he was thinking in his heart, why did Mukunda bring me here? How is this a great Vaishnav? But Mukunda knew exactly what Gadadhar Pandit was thinking. So he sang a particular verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. A verse that was chanted by Uddhava at the time when he was feeling deep separation from Krishna, who had already departed from the world. Remembering how Lord Krishna was attacked by the sister of Bakasura. Her name, Putana. She was also the sister of Agasura. Very empowered family. She came with the intent to murder Krishna, cruelly. When he was only 1 or 2 days old, with poison smeared on her breast. So devious, she disguised herself as a beautiful goddess. Krishna sucked her milk. He sucked the poison. He sucked out all of her anartas. Then he sucked her life. And for just that moment, at the time she was, after all the anartas, all the impurities of her heart were eradicated by Krishna, in her heart, there was a motherly affection for that little baby. Krishna only saw that. He magnified that and gave her eternal liberation in Goloka Vrindavan, where she would be his motherly nurse in ecstatic love forever. Uddhava was crying out, Who could be more merciful than this? How could I worship anyone else? When Pundarik Vidyanidhi heard that verse, how Krishna is most merciful, even to the most wicked, the most cruel. Krishna loves all living beings. Everyone is his children. Aham bija pratapita. Putana had already killed innumerable babies. Viciously. She deserved kalpas in hell for what she had done even before she came to Krishna. And now, with so much hatred and envy in her heart, she wanted to kill the Lord. But somehow or other, Krishna just magnified that little inclination that grew within her heart of motherly affection for him. Put her through a suffering, an intense, concentrated suffering by which all the anartas were removed quickly. Patita Pavana, the deliverer of the most fallen. Why would Krishna forgive a demoness like that? Why not give her the justice she deserved? Why Goloka Vrindavan? Because Krishna sees different than we see. In this world, justice is necessary, especially to protect the innocent. But ultimately, every soul is pure. Every soul loves Krishna. Every soul is loved by Krishna. It's just all these coverings which are built upon the false ego that create abominable, obnoxious mentality, words, and actions. Krishna forgave her in a moment and gave her ultimate liberation. Now, every devotee considers themselves very fallen. That is a contradiction. But in real spiritual life, there are so many apparent contradictions. But they are all resolved when we go deep into the essence of the love between God and the soul. How every devotee thinks themselves so fallen, so unworthy. Just a few days ago, we were discussing the Mahaprakash Lila in Shiva Sangam. These are the greatest devotees that ever walked upon this earth. These are devotees who are eternal residents of the spiritual world, who descended with the Lord. Why are they feeling themselves sinful, fallen, no love of God? Haridas Thakur saying, I'm abominable. Anyone who even comes near me becomes contaminated. He's thinking like that. It's just a natural quality because that quality opens the heart completely to receive the Lord's mercy. So Pundarik Vidyaniti was such a humble soul, feeling himself so fallen. And when he heard how Krishna gave elevation to Goloka, to Putana, he became ecstatic. So much hope. There's hope. There's hope for Putana. There's hope for everyone. Is there not? If we somehow or other just connect ourselves to Krishna. He started weeping, torrents of tears. He lost total control, just immersing himself in the forgiveness and the mercy of God. He started rolling around. His hair became completely disheveled. In his rolling around, all his clothes got ripped to shreds. The nice pillows flew in all directions. The pots flew in all directions. 10 men tried to hold him down, but they could not. And ultimately, he just came to such a peak of ecstatic love that he fell unconscious and laid there, motionless, practically lifeless, for 9 hours. Hare Krishna. Meanwhile, Gadadhar was thinking, Mukunda saved my life. I was thinking negatively about this great Vaishnava. But Mukunda saved me by revealing his real greatness. And he expressed to Mukunda Dutt that I should atone for my offense by accepting him as my eternal master and taking initiation from him. Hare Krishna. When Pundarik Vidyaniti came back to his consciousness, he looked around and everything was everywhere. And he realized what he had just done, and he became very embarrassed. And then he greeted Gadadhar Pandit once again. And his desire was expressed to him. Gadadhar Pandit went to Lord Chaitanya and expressed to him his thoughts. And Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He said, yes. He is my own father. There is no one with devotion like Pundarik Vidyaniti. So on an auspicious day, there was initiation. So Patita Pavana, the Lord is merciful even to the most fallen. Inconceivably merciful. Beyond the realm of the dualities of mismaterial nature. Mercy sometimes just doesn't concede to the principles of justice. The laws of karma are all about justice. You get what you deserve. The laws of the state are supposed to be about justice. And for human society to run properly, there must be kings who are protecting justice. But the nature of the Lord and the saintly persons is sometimes they intervene. That is the conclusion of Gita. Sarva dharman purityajya mam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papibhyo moksha isami masucha. abandon all varieties of religion. Krishna says, just surrender to me, and I will deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. That is Krishna's power. No one else has that power but God. But in these two brothers, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they have exhibited mercy, forgiveness to fallen souls way beyond even the realm of Krishna. And there are many examples. In fact, many are here tonight. But the classic example that acharyas cite is the deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. Paramakaruna pahundui jana nitai gorachandra. The deliverance of Putana and sending her back to the spiritual world. That type of mercy was not adequate to deliver the people of Kali Yuga. The Lord had to go way beyond that. And He did. Vande Sri Krishna Chaitanya Nityanando Sahodado Gododaye Pushpabanto Chitro Sando Tamonado. Like the sun and the moon rising simultaneously on the horizon of Gododesh, they have come to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. One day, in the house of Srivas, Lord Chaitanya, in front of all the other devotees, he gave an order to Lord Nityananda and Thakur Haridas. He said, listen carefully, Nityananda Prabhu, and hear what I say, Haridas. You go throughout the towns and the villages. Everyone you meet, everywhere you meet them, you give this one message. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Become Krishna's devotee. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna is the treasure of your life. Worship Krishna. Do not consider who is fit and who is unfit. Do not consider a person's caste, a person's education, a person's past, a person's present. Whoever you meet, everywhere, go to the marketplaces, go to the houses, go to the bathing ghats. Wherever you see any human being, give them this message. And at the end of the day, come back here and give me a comprehensive report of your activities. Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur went out into the streets. If we really meditate on what they did, it has to transform our lives completely. Here is Lord Balaram and Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma happens to be the most powerful of all the demigods, the father of every living being in the universe. No demon can even touch him. Such an exalted position. He's the original spiritual master within the universe. and Lord Balaram, who's the guru of all gurus, who's non-different than Krishna. He's Krishna's elder brother, who's the source of Aniruddha, Pradyumna, Shankarshan, and Vasudev, who's the source of Narayan, the source of Ram, Narasingha, and everybody, the source of all the three Vishnus, including Mahavishnu, whose inhalations and exhalations create and annihilate the entire cosmic manifestation. That is Balaram. The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nowhere have we seen the Lord taking such a merciful position as Nityananda Prabhu. He becomes the servant of every living being. He's going to insignificant, envious, rascal little jivatmas. And he's the source of Paramatma. And he's approaching them with folded hands, offering them all respect and honor, and then begging them to chant the holy names of Krishna. Lochandas Thakur, he writes that if they refused, he would get on his knees and beg them. If they still refused, he would prostrate himself at their feet and roll in front of them and weep and cry and beg them to take the name of Krishna. All day, every day, this was their activity. Some pious people just seeing the beauty and the love in the heart of Lord Nityananda. What could they do but take a vow to chant the holy names every day, give up all sinful activities forever, and worship Krishna? But not all people were like that. Some of the people that Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur approached were angry as fire. What, you're speaking? Worship Krishna. What, you're who are you to tell me what I'm supposed to do? There were caste Brahmins. Caste Brahmins, they're thinking, I know the Shastras. I perform my rituals. I have so many students, so many disciples. Who are you? An unknown avadut. Who are you to tell me what to do? Get out from here! Audacious, egoistic fool, get out from here! That is how Nityananda was treated. Now, you all know the story of Romaharshan Sutta? He was a mild version of these Brahmins. And Balaram took one piece of grass and one piece of grass, he cracked the heart of Romaharshan and he fell dead. But Nityananda Prabhu, when those puffed up, arrogant, envious, violent, tempered demons abused him, he took that grass in his teeth, he fell at their feet and begged them, please take the name of Krishna. And they didn't. They just chased him away. Others, they were spreading nasty, horrible rumors about Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu. Don't let them come near your house. We know who they really are. They're informants for dacoits. They go to your house in the name of begging you to chant. They're looking inside and sizing up exactly where you keep your valuables, where your windows are, where your doors are, and then they tell the dacoits and then they'll come and rob you. Don't let them near you. This is kind of rumors. Now, Lord Brahma, Lord Balaram, So, they're not like us. We're helpless at the hands of these cruel, arrogant people. But they accepted the humble position and rolled on the ground, begging them to take the names of Krishna. And many, many surrender their lives by the influence of Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur. And others simply blasphemed them and rejected them. But Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, they were ecstatic. Because they were not dependent on the results. They were pleasing Lord Chaitanya by following his instruction. That was their ecstasy. And they deeply cared for these people. Lord Nityananda Prabhu came to the conclusion that for them to... the only possibility of these people to be delivered is if they take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. So everywhere he went, he was trying to induce people to chant the names of Gauranga. You all know that song? Vaja Gauranga, Kaho Gauranga, Laho Gaurange Namre, Jejana Gauranga Paje, Se Ramakane. Take the name of Gauranga. Worship Gauranga. Speak and hear about Gauranga. If you do this, you become my life and soul. This was Nityananda Prabhu's spirit. Anyone who would take the name of Lord Chaitanya would become his life and soul. He would embrace them. He would touch their feet. He would garland them. He would put sandalwood pulp on every limb of their bodies. He would weep and cry and thank them profusely. You are my life and soul. That was his mercy. One day, Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas, they heard very harsh language. They came closer. They saw a crowd of people, very fearful, keeping a long distance from these two demons. They had huge, powerful bodies. Sometimes in our ISKCON temples we have dramas of Jagai and Madhai. And it's usually like a comedy. Jagai's, "Wah, Jagai, oh, Madhai." And everyone's laughing like that. But even more because they're better actors than me. But that's not the way it was with the real Jagai and Madhai. Nobody laughed at them. They were serious, violent criminals. They were huge bodies, powerful bodies. In their previous lives, they were Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, Shishupal, Dantavakra. With all the powers, they were Jagai and Madhai. Did anyone laugh at Hiranyakashipu? Not in his presence. Nobody laughed at Jagai and Madhai in their presence either. They were so intoxicated with strong liquors
They were just making a scene, howling obscenities. They could not speak a sentence without a forbidden, vulgar curse word in it. They were demons. And seeing how everyone was so afraid of them, Nityananda Prabhu asked one of the people, "Who are they?" They said, "The whole town of Navadvip fears them. They were born in Brahmin families. For generations, their parents, grandparents, great-grandparents were very, very highly qualified, pure-hearted Brahmins. But these two brothers, due to bad association from the beginning of their lives in childhood, have become demoniac, addicted to every type of sinful activity. So much so that their parents, their families, and the whole society totally rejected them. What do? They're always drunk. They kill Brahmins. They personally, with their own hands, they kill and eat cows and drink their blood. They rape women. They murder women. They rob houses. They set houses and villages on fire. And because they're so nasty and so powerful, even the government can do nothing to stop them. There are so many court cases against them. But no police officer will dare to serve the papers to them. They'll be killed in a minute. Obviously, Jagai and Madhai were not just two drunks off the street. They were powerful. They had tantric powers. The people told Nityananda and Haridas Pakur, "These people are so violent and so cruel and so sinful. There is no sin they will not commit." Now please listen carefully. When Nityananda Prabhu heard this, his heart melted. He became joyful. Hearing about their abominable condition, his heart melted with compassion. He turned to Haridas Thakur and said, "Our Lord Gauranga, he's Patita Pavana, he's the most merciful. But how many people know that? When our Lord delivers these drunkards and makes them intoxicated on the holy name of Krishna, now, Haridas, look, if anyone even touches the shadow of Jagai and Madhai, they will run to the river Ganges with all their clothes on to purify themselves. But when Lord Gauranga gives mercy to them, the opposite will happen. Someday you will see, if anyone comes near Jagai and Madhai, people will think that they have just bathed in the Ganges and purified themselves of all their sins. If our Lord can make them into Vaishnavas, then the truth of Lord Chaitanya will be revealed to the world." You see, Lord Chaitanya is pretending to just be a devotee.
We have to expose him. If he delivers Jagai and Madhai, the world will know his powers as the most forgiving, most compassionate, most merciful.
Nityananda said to Haridas, those Mughal executioners that whipped you with the intent to kill you in Fuliagram, do you remember how you prayed for Krishna to forgive them? And Krishna forgave them? Well, Haridas, do that for Jagai and Madhai. Pray to Krishna to give them pure love of God. Krishna has to listen to you, Haridas. Then Nityananda Prabhu, with his voice choked with love and compassion for the worst demons that the world has ever seen, cruel, envious, hateful. But Nityananda Prabhu loved them. As Balaram, with his plow, with his club, or with some grass, or with his fist, he killed demons like that. But as Nityananda Prabhu, he's approaching them with folded palms and tears in his eyes, and as a beggar. Oh, Jagai and Madhai, I beg you, please hear my words. Chant the names of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Become Krishna's devotee. Krishna is your real mother. Krishna is your real father. Krishna is the eternal treasure of your life. And that same Krishna has descended on this earth as Lord Gauranga to deliver even the most wicked, cruel people like you. For the abominable sins you have committed, you will certainly burn in the lowest regions of hell for unlimited time. But if you just take shelter of Lord Chaitanya, you will attain the highest perfection of liberation. Chant the names of Krishna. Jagai and Madhai heard that. Their eyes grew red like burning coals with anger. Intolerable. Who is this sannyasi type person preaching to us? Jagai and Madhai ran toward them with their gigantic hands ready to strangle them and cried out, "Catch them! Catch them!" Now what could Brahma do to them? What could Balaram do to them? Haladar! Plow! But what did Haridas and Nityananda do? They turned around and ran away. And Jagai and Madhai chased after them, running, running, running. Catch them, catch them! And the people who were around, the pious people, they were saying, we warned you, Nityananda and Haridas, we warned you, you two people, you look like sannyasis, you're walking around. We told you, don't approach Jagai and Madhai, you're crazy, it's suicidal. Now they didn't listen to us, so look, they're in great danger, they're about to die. And the envious people, oh, they were blissful. They were saying, yes, finally, these two fools who just go around begging everyone to chant Krishna's name, now we'll see who they really are. They'll be pulverized and killed by Jagai and Madhai once and for all. Very good, very good. The world will see now.
And meanwhile, Jagai and Madhai were screaming out, "Come back here! Come back here! You dare to run from Jagai and Madhai?" And Nityananda was running, with Hari Das running. Nityananda Prabhu said, "Hari Das, you know, you were saved by those people who tried to kill you. Now, you know, pray again and save us." Hari Das Thakur, he looked at Nityananda. He said, "I don't know what's going to happen today." He said, "Today you went to these two drunken murderous demons and told them to chant Hare Krishna and to surrender to Krishna." He said, "In the past when I was on my own, you know, I didn't preach to people like that, so Krishna saved me, but you had the audacity to preach to them. It appears that today my life is finished because of you." Nityananda Prabhu said, "Don't blame me. It's our master. He's the one who gave us this order. Who ever heard of such a thing in the world history for a Brahmin like Lord Gauranga to be giving people this order? Everyone you meet, you roll on the ground, you fall at their feet and you beg them to chant Hare Krishna without discrimination. Everyone. Get them to be Krishna's devotees and chant. We're only following his instructions. If you want to blame anyone, blame your Lord and Master, Lord Gauranga." And in this way, they were laughing the whole time and running and joking. And Jagai and Madhai were running, running, running. But because they were really big and they couldn't keep up with Nityananda and Hari Das, who were joking and laughing and clapping as they were running away. And finally, the two brothers, they couldn't catch Nityananda and Hari Das, so they started pulling each other's hair and beating each other. So they had to beat somebody. So Thakur Hari Das and Nityananda, they stopped for some time, then they looked and saw that they were no longer being chased. They went to Srivasangam. And they gave the report to Lord Chaitanya and all the devotees. When Lord Chaitanya heard about these two Brahmins who had become murderers and killers, Lord Chaitanya asked Srivas Thakur and Gangadas Pandit, "How is this possible? How could Brahmins from such a respected family as theirs become so cruel and sinful?" They told Lord Chaitanya, "Their names used to be Jagananda and Madhavananda, but now they are Jagai and Madhai. There is no sin that they do not commit. In fact, all over Navadvip, people are in fear of them. When they camp out anywhere in a district of Navadvip, nobody will even come out of their homes out of fear, especially at night. When they're on the bank of the Ganges, no one in that area will even dare to go to bathe in the Ganges, because these men are so mad. Nobody knows whose house is going to be burned down next in the middle of the night. Nobody knows who's going to be raped, who's going to be killed." Lord Chaitanya, Brahmins acting like this? Where is my Sudarshan Chakra? I will destroy them. Then Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, my lord, I already decided you should deliver them." Lord Chaitanya said,
that because Nityananda Prabhu has cast his glance on them with the intent to give them love of God, you'll see, soon they will be dancing and chanting with us. Meanwhile, Haridas Thakur is revealing his heart to Advaita Prabhu about what it's like preaching with a partner like Nityananda Prabhu. So he's very unpredictable. And he's always getting me in trouble. During the monsoons, when the Ganga is over flooding and swishing and filled with deadly man-eating crocodiles, Lord Nityananda will jump right in and jump right on the crocodiles. And I'll be screaming, "Nitai, Nitai, come back, come back." And he'll be playing with the crocodiles, and I'll, "No, come back, Nitai." And then he'll just start floating like a dead corpse down the Ganges. Other times, he'll get in one of these moods like a little cowherd boy and go to people's houses and start stealing their yogurt and their butter and their ghee and eating it. And then he'll run away, and then the people will come out with sticks and they'll punish me. Then he'll walk right up to a nice young lady and he'll say, "Will you marry me?" And she'll run, and she'll tell her father, and the father will come out, and Nityananda will be hiding, and I'll have to explain everything. Other times he'll go into someone's goshala, and he'll start milking their cows and drinking the milk. Then the cowherd man will come out, "What are you doing? What are you doing?" And he'll be gone, and I'll be standing there. He does these things every day. And today, you won't believe what he did today. He went to these two gigantic monsters who were drunk out of their minds and told them to chant Hare Krishna. And they attacked us to kill us. When Advaitacharya heard this, he started laughing and laughing and laughing and dancing in ecstasy. He said, "Why should you be surprised? Drunk people like to keep company with other drunk people. Jagai and Madhai are always intoxicated with liquors, and Nityananda Prabhu is always intoxicated with love of God, so they're made for each other." But you should know that Nityananda Prabhu's power, within a few days, Jagai and Madhai will be amongst us in Kirtan with their arms raised, loudly chanting the holy name. Shortly after this, Jagai and Madhai made their camp near the Ganges, near Lord Chaitanya's house. Nobody would dare go near there. But they heard the kirtan. All night long, Srivasangam, they heard the kirtans. And they would just drink more and more and more and listen. And sometimes they'd even try to sing along with it. And then they'd listen more, and then they'd drink more. And they'd listen and they'd drink, and they'd listen and they'd drink. And Lord Chaitanya came out of his house, and they started screaming at him. They said, "Oh, Nimai Pandit, we heard about you, we heard about you. We hear what you're doing all night, all this singing. Ah, you are doing some tantric pujas to Goddess Durga. Ha, 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 yes, you are doing Durga puja. Ha, ha, ha." But nobody should laugh, this is serious. But I'm like one of those actors, I can't. But Lord Chaitanya wouldn't go near them. He considered them so low and contaminated. He just kept his distance and went home. But they did hear the holy name.
one day, it was actually just around the time of the sunset. Nityananda Prabhu knew exactly where Jagai and Madhai were. And he walked right to that spot. Now they already knew him. He already insulted them. They already chased him to kill him. And now he walks right up to them. And they asked, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to Nimai Pandit's house." "Who are you?" He said, "People call me Avadhut." Madhai was outraged. He picked up a pot, a liquor pot, which was as hard as stone. And with all of his strength, and he was a powerful man, with all of his strength, with the intent to kill Nityananda Prabhu, he smashed that pot right on his head. Now please know, for Jagai and Madhai to kill people, it's like you and me eating a pakora. It was just like, no problem. They would do it every day. All of his strength. Smash that pot on Nityananda Prabhu's head. And by Nityananda Prabhu's own arrangement, he has a spiritual body. But just to reciprocate with them, blood poured from his head, streaked across his face and soaked his clothing. He looked up at Jagai and Madhai, and Nityananda said, I do not mind what you have done to me. You can do anything to me, but it breaks my heart to see your suffering condition. Please, chant the name of Krishna. Worship Krishna. Become Krishna's devotee. Krishna's your mother. Krishna's your father. Krishna's the treasure of your life. Please, my brother, chant the holy names. This further infuriated Madhai. He picked up another pot. He roared like a lion and was about to smash Nityananda Prabhu on the head again. But seeing Nityananda Prabhu's genuine love, selfless, causeless compassion, Jagai's heart was transformed. He stopped his brother Madhai. He said, "No, no, you cannot do this. Don't you see? This man is truly a saint. You tried to kill him and he loves you. He wants only your benefit. Do not harm him. He's an innocent man." But still, Madhai was so outraged, he was ready to do it again. But the people of the town who saw this ran and reported it to Lord Chaitanya. With an army of devotees around him, Lord Chaitanya came running to that scene like death personified. First he looked at Nityananda Prabhu, who was covered with blood. And then he looked at Madhai, who was ready to hit him again with a pot. Srila Prabhupada explains that Lord Chaitanya's eyes were bright red like burning coals. And he screamed out, "Chakra!" The Sudarshan Chakra manifested on his hand, flashing, brilliant like light, like the sun. And Jagai, Madhai, and everyone around saw the chakra on Lord Chaitanya's hand. He was at the
on the verge of liberating Madhai from his physical body.
However, Nityananda would not allow him to do so. Nityananda Prabhu stepped between Madhai and Lord Gauranga. And with tears of compassion, he pleaded with the Lord with folded palms. He said, "My Lord, my dear Lord Gauranga, please do not harm him. We have come to this world not to kill the demons, but to transform the hearts of the demons into great saintly devotees. That is our mission. This is the age of Kali. In this age of Kali, everyone will be more or less like Jagais and Madhais. Through the power of the holy name, we have come to give them love of God. My Lord, please hear me.
Jagai saved my life. He stopped Madhai from killing me and hitting me again." When Lord Chaitanya heard that, it was just what Nityananda Prabhu knew he needed to say. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became so unlimitedly indebted to Jagai for doing that service for Nityananda Prabhu.
Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his Sudarshan chakra disappeared, and he said, "Jagai, you have protected my beloved Nityananda Prabhu. Today I give you Krishna Prema." Just by saying that, Jagai's heart filled with love of Krishna. He fell to the ground unconscious. Lord Chaitanya said, "Jagai, I reveal my supreme opulences to you today. Look at me." Jagai looked up. Lord Chaitanya manifested his four-armed form of Narayan, holding the conch shell, the lotus flower, the club, and the chakra in ecstasy. His hairs were standing on end. Tears were pouring from his eyes. His limbs were trembling. He was rolling on the ground. He grabbed Lord Chaitanya's feet and pressed them to his heart, on his chest, gazing up at the beautiful face of the Lord. His life was perfect. Now, Madhai and Jagai were two brothers. And seeing the transformation of Jagai, and seeing the chakra ready to kill him, Madhai was transformed too. He said, "I understand that you're God. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Give me what you've given my brother. That's what I really want. After all, whatever he's ever done, I've done, and whatever I've done, he's done. So please give me your mercy." Lord Chaitanya said, "He protected Nityananda. You smashed him on the head and caused him to bleed. You deserve to be destroyed." Madhai said, "But my Lord, it's not like that. I'm from a Brahmin family. I've read the scriptures. So many demons you've delivered. Kamsa and all these demons, they caused harm to you. They fought with you. They made you bleed sometimes. But still, you forgave them and gave them liberation. So give that to me too." Lord Chaitanya said, "No. It is not like that. Because those demons attacked me. But you attacked Nityananda Prabhu. His body is more dear to me than my own. He is my devotee. Therefore, the only salvation from you is you must fall at the feet of Nityananda Prabhu and get his forgiveness."
Madhai fell at the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda Prabhu, and from his heart of hearts he was crying, begging for forgiveness. Lord Chaitanya looked at Lord Nityananda and said, Nitai, he is yours now. If you really forgive him, then pick him up and embrace him. Nityananda, covered with blood, he said to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, if I have ever, all the devotional service I have ever done, I beg you, just this one benediction. One benediction. All the devotional service I have ever done, let all the credits go to giving love of God to Madhai. That will be the fulfillment of all my desires. Then he embraced Madhai with love, and then gave him over to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said to Madhai and Jagai, you have committed unlimited sins. Never commit sinful activities again. Never commit any offenses. Worship Krishna and chant the holy names, and I will give you the ecstatic love of God that even Brahma and Shiva and the devas long and pray for. They gave their words, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu blessed him. Madhai was now a pure devotee. Lord Chaitanya said, now let us go to my house and perform Nam Sankirtan. They went to the inner chambers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's own house. And only the most confidential devotees were allowed that day. Included amongst them, Jagai and Madhai. Nityananda Prabhu, Gadadhar Pandit, Advaita Prabhu were all sitting with Lord Chaitanya, and all the great devotees were gathered around. And Lord Chaitanya said that I want all of you to know that I have taken all the sins of Jagai and Madhai into my own body. There is no offenses left in them. I have taken it all from them. And if you want proof of this, look and see what happens. Right before all the devotees' eyes, all the unlimited immoral deeds of Jagai and Madhai entered into Lord Chaitanya. All their lifetimes of karma. Lord Chaitanya's body turned black. Devotees were shocked. Such mercy. Lord Chaitanya asked, Advaita Prabhu, what do you see? Advaita Prabhu said, you are black just like Krishna. And all the devotees laughed. And he said, yes, I am black. I want everyone for all times to know that Jagai and Madhai are sinless because they have taken shelter of my holy name, because they have received the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, he promised them that he would give them love of God. I cannot make his word in vain. Therefore, I have taken all their sins. So you should never, ever, ever consider them what they did in the past. You should only see them as pure Vaishnavas from this day on. Now, what will happen with all their sins? He said, everybody perform kirtan. And that Nam Sankirtan will remove all the sins of Jagai and Madhai from my body,
and those sins will enter into the hearts of anyone who criticizes devotees. Hare Krishna.
They began kirtan, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's body radiated like molten gold once again. The kirtan was so ecstatic, very ecstatic, so spontaneous. Jagai and Madhai were dancing in ecstasy, weeping tears. And they were even bumping into Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya would perform kirtan with devotees, it was so spontaneous and so natural. It wasn't like, you know, he's God and we're the servants. Everyone was just happy together, dancing and chanting and dancing and embracing each other. And Sachi Mata, she was watching the whole thing in great amazement. Jagai and Madhai dancing with her beloved little son, Sachinanda, in love of God. It is said that Jagai and Madhai committed every possible sin except one. They never offended devotees because they never associated with devotees. The only devotee they ever offended was Nityananda, and he forgave them like that. But other than that, it is said that even great scholars and everybody else who, if they are criticizing devotees or envious of devotees, even Krishna will not deliver them. But he'll deliver Jagai and Madhai. But not those who are envious of his devotees. Very strong lesson. Meanwhile, it was the talk of all of Navadvip that Lord Chaitanya, he must be Lord Narayan or something. Or he must be the greatest of all saints. Jagai and Madhai are now humble brahmacharis by the mercy of Lord Gauranga. News spread everywhere. And even people who were envious of the Lord, many of them, their hearts changed. Lord Nityananda Prabhu's desire was fulfilled. That Lord Chaitanya, he revealed himself as Patita Pavana. Even Krishna's deliverance of Putana was insignificant in comparison to Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya's deliverance of Jagai and Madhai. Putana died and went back to Godhead. Jagai and Madhai became pure-hearted Paramhamsa preachers in this very life. They didn't even have to die. Narottam Das Thakur prays, Potita pavana hetu tava avatara mosamo patita prabhu napai beyara. That my Lord, you are the deliverer of the most fallen. But if you look throughout your creation, you will find no one more fallen than me. So my claim is first. That is the heart of a Vaishnava. Even the demigods were shocked by this. They had never seen such mercy before. They came down to earth to witness with their own eyes Jagai and Madhai dancing in kirtan. Yes? Now Ravana Kumbhakarna, Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Shishupal Dantavakra, they never danced in kirtan in that life. They had to be killed. But here they were. Like a bonus birth they took again, the same people. They were dancing in kirtan with tears of humility in their eyes. Yamaraj, he was looking at them. He asked his chief secretary, Chitragupta, tell me the extent of the sins of Jagai and Madhai. Because I can't believe that Gauranga has taken all their sins within a moment. Tell me the extent of those sins. Chitragupta said, Yamaraj,
It's not possible. We have a whole staff that only calculates Jagai and Madhai sins. And they're calculating to the point of exhaustion. They're practically ready to die. They're so overworked. And we can't keep a big enough staff. We have so many records. We have mountains and mountains and mountains of records, and the scribes cannot write fast enough to keep up with all the sins that they commit. But now, within a moment, Lord Chaitanya has taken all those sins and eradicated them all and given them love of God. Now, what are we going to do with all these records? We can take them to the deepest ocean and try to dispose of them there. When Yamaraj heard the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, no saint, no avatar, ever, in any scripture, in any itihas or history, has this been seen. Yamaraj fainted. Now it takes a lot to make Yamaraj faint. Meanwhile, all the demigods were coming back from Navadvipa, and they saw in the chariot Yamaraj just laying there, unconscious. And they asked Chitragupta, "What happened to Yamarajji?" And they said, "I just explained to him the extent of the sins of Jagai and Madhai, and he understood what is the extent of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. He fainted." So Brahma, Shiva, Shukadeva, all of them, they were all going right into Yamaraj's ears and very loudly calling out, "Gauranga! Gauranga! Gauranga!" And Yamaraj jumped in the air and started dancing madly, madly. Nobody had ever saw Yamaraj like this. He's a very grave person. He was dancing like a madman. And Chitragupta started dancing like a madman, just crying out, "Lord Gauranga," and his hairs were standing on end. Shiva saw this, and meditating on the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, he danced wild. His matted hair was, with every movement of his body, was whipping around into the air. His clothes all fell off. He was howling out the names of Lord Chaitanya, and his sons, Ganesh, started dancing ecstatically. And Kartikeya and Brahma with his four heads were chanting and dancing. And his different associates like Kashyapa Muni and Daksha and Bhardwaj Muni, they were all dancing. Narada Muni was in so much ecstasy, his tears were so much in his eyes that he lost his veena. And he didn't even know it. Shukadev Goswami, like a madman, dancing all. Ananta Shesha, with his many, many mouths, he was chanting the glories of Lord Chaitanya as Patita Pavana, the deliverer of Jagai and Madhai. He started dancing with Garuda, and all the demigods went in a circle around them. It was an amazing kirtan. Yes, in the history of the universe, Parama Karuna Pahun Dvijana Nitai Kora Chandra. No one has seen such love, such kindness as this. Jagai and Madhai became so humble. Every day they would wake up long before the sun would rise. Usually they wouldn't even go to sleep before the sun would rise. They would wake up before the sun would rise. They would take their bath in the Ganga. And then they would sit and chant 2 lakhs of Krishna's names every day as a strict discipline. 200,000 names a day. Madhai became a brahmachari. Perfectly celibate, saintly person. But in his heart, he grieved every time he thought that the most merciful person who saved his life, Nityananda Prabhu, how he beat him on the head, made him bleed with the intent to kill him. It was breaking his heart. He would cry day and night in regret.
One day, he happened to see Nityananda Prabhu wandering through the pathways of Navadvip. And he fell at his lotus feet and offered beautiful prayers to him. And then he begged him, "How can I live knowing that I tried to kill you? I caused you pain. I made you bleed. And yet you forgave me with such love. You gave me Krishna Prema. How could I live with myself?" Nityananda Prabhu smiled. He embraced him. He said, "Don't even feel bad about this. I'm like your father. You're like my little child. If a little child slaps the parent doesn't take it seriously because of that love. So I do not take it seriously. You are forgiven. Please see it that way and give up your lamentation." Madhai said, "My dear Lord, you are so merciful. You have forgiven me. But what about all the people that I have offended? All the families that I have caused so much pain to? I was so drunk and so blinded by arrogance, I don't even know who all those people were. I want to fall at the feet of anybody I have ever hurt in any way and beg forgiveness, beg to be their eternal servant, beg to repent in any way they so desire. But I don't even know who to approach. Please guide me." Lord Chaitanya told Madhai, "Make a very nice ghat on the bank of Mother Ganga. Because the Ganga is all pure. The Ganga cleanses one of all sins. Do this service for Mother Ganga, and how purified you will become. Do it as a service to all the people of Navadvip. Not only should you dig and construct that ghat, but you should stay there all day, every day, and clean it. Keep it spotless clean. And every single person that comes, whoever they are, you offer your dandavat pranams in respect to them and beg forgiveness for any offense you may have ever committed and beg from your heart of hearts to be their humble servant and constantly chant the holy names of Krishna." Madhai took that order as his life and soul. The people of Navadvip, they were astonished. Here is this cruel murderer, thief, rapist, robber, drunkard. And now he's humbly doing this hard labor of making a bathing ghat. And every single person, man, woman, child, whoever they may be, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anyone, he would fall at their feet with tears pouring from his eyes, begging forgiveness for any offense and begging that he could be their humble servant. He would wash their clothes for them. He would carry things for them. He would do anything for them spontaneously. Everyone loved Madhai because he was so genuine. And in loving Madhai, they could do nothing but glorify Lord Gauranga and Lord Nityananda Prabhu. Sometimes people were so offended by the past activities of Madhai that when he would be standing there begging, "Please, any atonement, whatever you ask me to do, I'm willing to do it. How can I serve you?"
sometimes so angry, they'd pick up a big rock and hurl it right at him, hit him on the head with it. And Madhai would humbly pick up that rock and hand it back to them and say, please throw it again. I deserve so much more. And then even that person's heart would melt and he would fall at Madhai's feet and beg forgiveness. This is the story of the deliverance of Jagayan Madhai, which is but one beautiful example of the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda.
Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, these great acharyas,
they had complete faith in that mercy.
And it was that faith that empowered them to perform such miracles. And by hearing in the association of devotees, we can also gain that faith. The price of pure love of God is to chant the holy name purely with faith. Lord Nityananda Prabhu gives the holy name, which gives access to the love of the spiritual world, if we're simply willing to open our hearts with faith. This story of Jagayan Madhai has been repeated so many millions of times by the Vaishnavas for this reason, because it gives supreme hope to everyone. Not only does it give us hope in our own personal lives, but when we want to be instruments of compassion to help others, it gives us great hope that everyone has the opportunity to attain the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, if we can somehow or other inspire their faith. Should we sing one more song?